Dr. Anita Heiss is a member of the Wiradjuri Nation and one of Australia's most prolific and well-known authors of Indigenous literature. Anita is also a lifetime ambassador for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, a national charity working to address child literacy levels in remote communities. The Indigenous Literacy Foundation has joined forces with the AFL and the Epic Good Foundation to bring a blockbuster fundraising event to Brisbane. Anita, let's start with how you came to be involved with the Epic Good Foundation.
I'm a good friend of Kathy Reid, who is the co-founder of the Epic Good Foundation, with her husband Stuart Giles, of whom I'm a good friend now as well. And they were had already had a relationship with the Hawthorne Foundation, and I was doing some writing for them remotely and helping them around some of their media and social media around that. And they had a raft of charities that they supported, including Very Special Kids, which is a children's hospice in Melbourne, the AIOU Foundation, St Vinny's CEO Sleep Out, and so forth. So last year, they actually formed a foundation to put as an umbrella for all of their charities. And on May 27 of last year, they launched their five-year commitment to the Hawthorne Indigenous Program, which is fantastic in terms of supporting young fellas through mentoring and so forth. So they asked me if I would relocate to Brisbane and manage their foundation for them, while at the same time allowing me to continue building the Anita Heiss brand around literature and literacy and so forth. So I get every day to work with organisations that are doing fantastic things on the ground, not only for Indigenous peoples, but for all Australians as well.
Well, it doesn't get much better than that. Tell us a bit about how the Epic Good Foundation, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and the AFL have come together for this collaboration.
Well, I'm sure you'll understand it's not a coincidence.
There are no coincidences.
No, there's none. I've read The Prophet. I'm a national ambassador of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and obviously now working quite closely with the Hawthorne Football Club in terms of what they do. And I will actually be going to Catherine in La Jumanu actually in a couple of weeks to run a workshop with the Big River Hawks, who are the junior team for Hawthorne, and that will be an ILF project, and we will produce a book that which will then be sold, and monies will go back into literacy projects. So it, for me, from an Epic Good perspective, and knowing the work that Stuart and Kathy want to do through their foundation, and understanding the need to link literacy and sport, because I see a lot of young people in remote communities who are brilliant athletes, and particularly AFL footballers, but may not have the literacy skills that will require them to have a full empowered life. So I also do a lot of work in schools, and teachers often say to me, when they set assignments for their students and they want them to pick an Indigenous role model, they're nearly always sports people. So I think there's a real need to marry and find ways to broker relationships between sporting codes, all sporting codes, and literature and literacy. So in Darwin earlier this year, some Hawthorne players actually presented kids from Tiwi Island with book packs from our Book Buzz and read to them. And so that was the first step in the relationship between Hawthorne in particular and the ILF, and that will grow over time. But what we're looking at in the next for Reconciliation Week, to celebrate Reconciliation Week, to celebrate Indigenous Round, which is now known as Sir Doug Nicholls Round, and to celebrate the relationship between the ILF and Epic Good, is we're having a gala event in Brisbane where we're book lovers and footy lovers will come together, and just, you know, mob from the community will come together to actually raise awareness and raise funds for the ILF.
Now, you've recently shared a sneak peek of one of your books, Kicking Goals with Goodsy and Magic, which tells of the friendship between these two AFL legends, Adam Goods and Michael O'Loughlin. Can you tell us a bit about why you felt it was important to tell this story and how you got involved in the collaboration?
Yes, it's interesting because I can't remember when I first met Adam and Michael, some years ago, because I vaguely remember Adam calling me auntie at a performance at the State Theatre one night.
Well, you wouldn't have forgot that, would you?
No, and I said to him, don't you ever do that in public again. And I think he was in his 20s and I was obviously much younger. I have long wanted to do – I've known Michael for some time. We've been on a board together at the National Aboriginal Sporting Chance Academy. I read his memoir where I learned a lot about the psyche of elite athletes, but he was very – he gave lots of wise words, particularly to young people, about managing racism and which, you know, managing not with your fists. And I wanted to do – I was asked to do a kid's book with Mickey O, and I was sitting there talking to the publishers and I said, why don't we do like the two of us that we'll see in the weekend papers, where you'd have two people who are lifelong friends, they're interviewed separately with the same questions to see their recollections and so forth. So he basically took that. I text Adam and Michael from the meeting and said, you know, do you want to be part of this? And like, yes, awesome, great. And so it was quite easy to pull that together. And I had the joy of interviewing them. They're both incredibly funny, and we might not see that in the public domain often, but they're very, very funny, varying levels of humility, and talking about each other is very, very funny. But also, like, I wanted to get some dirt if they were naughty when they were at school, because the idea is to have a book for kids in the classroom that says, you know, we all make mistakes, but we get up, we learn our lessons, we dust ourselves off and get on with it. But they were actually pretty good boys while they're at school as well. So I learned about, you know, and I wanted to through their stories, have our young people nationally get some insight into what it takes to be a leader, what it takes to reach your goals, and what you want to be when you're five may not be what you turn out to be when you're 20. For instance, both those fellas wanted to be NBA basketball legends. So, and Adam, I think, played soccer till he was about 14. And I don't think he kicked his first goal until he got to the Swans, where Mickey O was kicking goals when he was in, you know, 5, 6, 7 and so forth. So the story of evolution for those two fellas and how they got to be where they are, but also the relationship that they have as blood family, but also Mickey O as Adam's mentor. It's really interesting.
Now, as a writer, you're probably best known for your work in commercial women's fiction. And you've actually been a very strong advocate for breaking down negative stereotypes about that genre. But you're prolific across a range of areas, history, children's books, etc. Is this something that you've actually pursued, trying to write in so many different styles?
There's two answers to that. One is I just want to find one genre I'm good at.
To be good at all of them.
No, you know, I feel like I manage it. But it is about providing resources, in particular genres, to reach different audiences. So I started writing those commercial women's fiction because I wanted to reach those women that catch the train to work, for instance, from Penrith to Central every day, or from the Central Coast down into the city, or lie on the beach and or whatever, or in book clubs. And I thought, how do we reach these women who are 18, you know, to 45 or to 60, who may never have heard of Anita Heiss or Larissa Berendt, may have seen us marching against the anti-intervention but never understood why, or may not have even thought about us at all. How do we get on their radar? And so it was about – that was a distinct marketing / business decision to reach those women about issues that are important to me. And the one way to do that was to look at – you know, we all, as women, we have relationships with our friends, our sisters, our mothers, you know, some searching for love with men and or women or whatever, and talking about relationships and weaving the politics of identity and so forth through that. The kids' books, obviously, it's important, you know, our kids need to see themselves on the page. They need to see kids that look like them on the page, that live in areas like them on the page. So I sort of wrote those books with the kids at La Perouse to put them on the national identity radar, but also to write them into the Australian literary landscape. And similarly with the Goods and Mickey O book, it's about getting their faces, two strong Aboriginal male leaders in the sporting community, but also, you know, they're both businessmen as well, and they're ambassadors for a range of charities. They have their own charity in the Go Foundation, and it's good for both young Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians to see that we have, you know, strong leaders like that.
Now, you're all coming together for this big fundraising event for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. What sorts of donations have you been getting? Have lots of people chipped in? And what sort of prizes are on offer? What would you most like to take home?
Oh, can I tell you, I'm gobsmacked at the generosity of people. So, you know, Mickey and Adam gave me a signed Swan's Guernsey, which is fantastic. Galimba, the Indigenous design company that are based here in Brisbane, they did a hand-painted pair of AFL footy boots that are up for auction online right now. And they also donated a football, which will go into the raffle. We've got dinner with the Titters. Stephen Oliver and Aaron Farsell have donated a Monday night.
Oh, fantastic. To have
could you imagine that dinner party? I'm actually kicking in to go to that dinner party. So I'm hoping that lots of people will come along in as groups, their friends, and chip in and bid on that. We've got William Barton, who will be performing at the event. He's also donated a private one-on-one Didj lesson. We've got Cyril Rioli assigned a Hawks Indigenous round jumper, which we're raffling. But the Hawks have also donated a team to 2016 team signed Guernsey. That is being auctioned. We've got opening night tickets to Bangarra's Terrain at QPAC here. We've got a $500 gift voucher for travel in our raffle. Ralph Wilson is a local Brisbane artist up here. He's donated a painting that's got a value of it of $8,500. Kate Grenville's actually donated a book club visit in Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane. So book clubs will be bidding to have her go and visit their book club, which I think is fantastic. I'm actually auctioning off character rights in my next novel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how do people get involved if they're listening to all of these great things that they can bid on?
Well, my suggestion is just to go straight, punch into Google, Indigenous Literacy Foundation. The page will come up and you'll see a picture of footy boots on the front there, beautiful painted footy boots. Click that on. So all the information's on the Indigenous Literacy Foundation website. There's an online auction that goes until the evening of the event at 9 p.m. And then we have items at our live auction as well. But we'd like people to come along to the Fox Hotel on Friday, May 27, on the Dandy's rooftop. Tickets at $60. That includes canapes and drinks for the first 2 hours. Georgia Corowa was performing, as I mentioned, William Barton's performing, and there's going to be so much fantastic energy to celebrate Indigenous Round at the AFL.
Is this going to be an annual event or is it kind of a one-off thing?
Well, Stuart, the co-founder, suggested to me that his dream is that we will have one of these happening in every state and territory where games are being played for Indigenous Round. I might need a team of people to help me to pull that off. But I think, you know, there's lots of philanthropists who have balls and charity events, and Stuart and Kathy are interested in doing something community like this. So I think this might turn out to be the flagship annual event for Epic Good.
Well, just finally, the Sydney Writers' Festival has just wrapped up. Which event would you not have missed if you were in town for it?
Well, do you know what I love? I looked at the Indigenous program, as I do every year, and I really like the fact that the Sydney Writers' Festival takes things out to the regions. Now, one event that I would have made an effort to get to, and I've been to a number of times, is down in Wollongong. It is the Black Wallaby Indigenous Writers' Night. Auntie Barbara Nicholson, Wadi Wadi Woman, helps pull that together for the South Coast Writers' Centre. I think this year there was John Muckmuck Burke, and he's done it a number of times, and Tony Birch. And what's fabulous about that is that it means that we're not always expecting people to travel to Sydney to be part of this international event. And they get a huge crowd, there's great energy, and lots of blackfellas get along to that. And obviously, Larissa, that's if I wasn't going to the Eliza session.
Oh, me talk about my book.
Yes, I would be. Probably because there's some, you know, subjectivity in that, and I can call you on the phone and talk about that. But I thought I would have really got myself down to Wollongong for that event.
Well, Anita, thank you so much for being with us. All the best for the event.
Thank you for having me.
Anita Heiss, her new book, Barbed Wire, will be released on the 17th of August.